just interviewed Dr. Renee James about her book, Science Unshackled, How Obscure, Abstract, Seemingly Useless Scientific Research Turned Out to Be the Basis for Modern Life. If you're just joining us, please go back and listen to this archived program at WGTD.org. Thank you very much for listening.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
WGTD is on your smartphone. For local news and the rest of the mobile version of our website, log on to WGTD.org. For live audio streams of WGTD, 24/7 Jazz HD2, and SportsWeb, visit the App Store and download the free WGTD app.
Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Anointed Body Care, offering a selection of handcrafted skin and hair care products, bath bars, salt scrubs, lotions, and facial care products. The market is open Saturdays from 10 until 2 at the Rhodey.
Support for WGTD comes from Andrea's. Come in from the cold and enjoy hot soups and sandwiches at Jack's Cafe. Our steaming chili is the perfect remedy for the winter blues with a warm corn muffin and a hot cup of coffee. Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, Kenosha.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning and welcome to WGTD and this our Saturday morning program, Community Matters. In the rather wicked winter weather that we've faced in the Midwest this year, there's growing discussion about what happens to our fellow citizens who are homeless, especially in the below zero wind chills and the snow that we have faced this year. Where do the homeless individuals and families go? How do they manage to stay out of the elements? Last year in Racine, an overnight shelter, the Hospitality Center, had to close for overnight guests, and there was a very difficult situation for many homeless individuals in Racine. Seeing this need for an overnight shelter, a group of individuals formed a committee which soon became the Segway Board and which approached the county regarding the need to set up a shelter for those who do not qualify for other shelters. The county approved and supported this, and since November 1st of 2016, a host shelter standing for Homeless Overnight Sanctuary has been operating for those who have nowhere to go for housing. The development of this shelter is truly a remarkable story, and that's why I'm so excited to have with us today some of those associated with HOST to discuss the challenges, the difficulties, and the joys of having such a shelter. With us today is Pastor Warren Williams, President of the Segway Board, staff member Andrew Hansen, and a shelter guest who we will identify by his first name, Travis. Welcome to all of you, and thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
It's our pleasure.
Warren, I think we'll start with you because I think it's important to talk about how this whole shelter came to be and what happened at the very beginning to start the initiative for the host shelter.
Well, I need to give a great deal of credit to my wife, Joni. She has been working with the homeless in Racine for a couple of years. It started through the Hospitality Center. We were aware, as you said, that the Hospitality Center could no longer house guests.
For overnight,
yes. They're still operating and doing a wonderful job during the day. There had been in Racine a hotel voucher program. It wasn't great. There were issues with it. The guests were unsupervised. It was pretty expensive. And in October of 2014, it was announced that there would no longer be any money for the hotel vouchers. And there were a group of people who got together to demonstrate. They don't want to say protest, but to demonstrate, to say that, you know, these folks are going to be out on the street. And so because of that, Gay Lorenzen, who is the head of Wisconsin Legal Action and was at that time the president of the Continuum of Care. The Continuum of Care is an organization that's an umbrella organization over all the groups in Racine County that help the homeless, called Joni and said, could you put together a group of people who will find a location for a low barrier shelter? Now we have, and I'm going to have to correct myself, this was 2015, that October that this all began. We have a high barrier shelter in Halo. It's a good place. It doesn't take people, however, who don't fit certain criteria. And those, particularly perhaps people with addictions, people with mental health issues, and some other people who are not residents of Racine County, but are here and need assistance, don't always fit there. And so, and like I say, I praise Halo. It does wonderful things, but there needed to be something else.
Mm-hmm. So just to clarify for our listeners, we are a low barrier shelter, which means we take people who do not qualify for other shelters.
Right. We take people who maybe have alcohol or other drugs in their system. We take people who are suffering from mental illness and maybe not being not stable enough perhaps to be in a different kind of shelter.
Who don't we take, Warren?
We don't take sexual offenders. Anyone on the sexual offender list, we cannot take.
And if someone comes who's out of control?
Right. That's our primary criteria is behavior.
Okay.
If you come in and you've had a few drinks, we're not maybe happy about that, but we're not going to toss you out into the cold. It's behavior based. If you behave yourself, great. Life is good. And that's been working very well for us.
And just one last question for you. What does our census show about whether there really was a need or not? I know when we opened the first, I should say to our audience, I am on the Segway board, but when we opened the first day, the article was we had one resident or two, I forget. But how has that census been going?
Well, you're right. On November 1st, it was a 70-degree day, and we had one person show up. But we moved from that to within a week, 7-8, and the next week, 15-16. And currently, we're operating most often in the mid to upper 20s. We've had as many, I believe, as 35. But
okay. We're doing something important here.
Mm-hmm. We're doing something that's very necessary. That's mm-hmm. 30 people yep. each night that are not on the streets in Racine, and we're thankful to the support. I should say we've had strong support from both Racine County and the city of Racine, and we're thankful for that mm-hmm. support for Johnson Foundation that gave us $25,000. The Our Saviors Foundation that gave us $5,000, the Universal, the UU Church in Racine, Olympia Brown has been generous, and many others, and so we're very thankful.
Thanks.
For that.
It isn't often that you can actually see a need in a community that is not being addressed, and it really wasn't being addressed, so, and able to fill that, it's been a wonderful journey, I guess. Next to you, Andrew, how did you become involved in host, and what do you see as its importance?
I'd worked 3 years at a different homeless shelter, excuse me. And after my father had a stroke, Pastor Warren Williams here was visiting my father and told me that they were that you were opening up the homeless shelter, and I expressed my desire to get involved again. It's a matter of the heart. I love these guys. I love mm-hmm. helping people. And from what I've witnessed, we are doing real good.
Wow.
Helping getting people off the streets. Last night we had 25 individuals in. We've been staying pretty steady at the upper 20s recently. And most everybody who came in the first week are still coming back. And it really warms my heart to know that we're doing something really good for people.
I like that you say I love these guys because, you know, we have a volunteer on every night, and I volunteered several times. And when I volunteer, I'm always touched by that, how they're so grateful. Like, you go up and you say, hi, I'm so-and-so. And they say, what do you do? And I say, well, you know, I'm just a volunteer. And they're like, thank you so much. They are so grateful.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think community is really important. We this is not simply a charity, if you will. This is community. This is where we care about each other. And there obviously are distinctions between guests and volunteers and staff, but there's some sense that we're all in this together and we do care about each other.
Yeah. I really try to stress family with with the clients, because we are all cohabitating in the same area and we all have to get along, and the better we get along, the less issues there are.
Yes. In fact, the board talks a lot about how we want this to be a cozy and a welcoming place, and yet we also know that there need to be rules. How do you create that balance when you're on the shift?
The way that I see it, and I'm not sure if everybody agrees with me, but I try to be the caring father figure. You have to let them know that you are the one in charge, but you also want them to know that you truly care about them. We had a couple of clients, one who went missing for a few days. They went on a drinking bender and went into detox, and one of them came back last night. And the first thing I did when I saw him, I stopped everything that I was doing. I walked right up to him. I gave him a great big hug. I said, you don't hesitate to call, but you better call if you're going to go missing again. I was worried about him, you know.
Yes.
And that connected to him, and he thanked me, for being concerned.
And part of our trying to give them responsibility is also they have chores, I understand.
Yes, we've got a chore list that's constantly in flux, because we come up with new ones. We come up with different ways of doing it. I believe, at least it should have happened this way today, I've decided that instead of having a list where we write down people's names, we go up and choose individuals to do the tasks. Previously, it was just a short list of small tasks that to keep the site clean and to give people responsibility. But some of those tasks were not being accomplished. So I told my overnight coworker to just pick out people in the morning, tell them what their chore is, and hopefully the chores then would get done in a more timely manner. In the morning, it seems to be a little more difficult for people to complete chores, mostly because it is morning, and we are a low-barrier shelter, so some people are probably coming off of a hangover and are a little ornery in the morning. So, I would be too. What I'm hoping to accomplish is to have a full set of lists for both morning and night chores, and people can just then come up and choose which would work better for them.
Right. I'd like to turn to one of our guests at Host. Travis was kind enough to come here today to talk to us. What, Travis, is the shelter like for our guests? What are the benefits to you?
To me, it's a very nice shelter. I've actually been in a lot of different shelters, and so it's probably the nicest I've been in, actually. I would say I've been in five or six, and it's the nicest I've been in. They've helped me with clothing. They've helped me with food. They've helped me, I've got a place to shower. I've got a place to lay my head. I'm not out in the cold, it's a blessing to have this shelter here.
What do you like about the shelter, I guess? And what do you see that could be better?
I like the entire thing. I don't think very much could be much better. It's a very welcoming. I don't really know how to put it. It's feels like home.
Good. And that is what so many of our guests say. They're just so happy. Maybe beds would be nice, huh?
Yes.
We have mats. We we were hoping to have. We were supposed to get beds, and that didn't work out. We will have them eventually.
Mm-hmm. Just maybe one last one for Travis. As guests, do you become friends with each other? And
yes, we all kind of look out for each other. It's sort of like a brother in arms type thing. It's, you know, we just make sure that everybody's taken care of. If somebody's missing, you know, when the bus shows up, we try to go find where they're at, or, you know, everybody's always speculating, you know, like, where are they at, or are they coming, you know, like, it just feels like a big family, like Andrew said.
Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like, and that sense of community
it's amazing to me, and this is not just recent, but in working with homeless people for a while, how much they do look out for one another. Mm-hmm. And in the shelter, there's a certain amount of policing each other that goes on, too, because they don't, you know, they want to make sure they keep this, that this is a good thing. So
I had both that, the policing each other last night, and what Travis said about the camaraderie. One of the clients was not on the bus, and one of the other clients freaked out. It was one of our, I guess, more special needs. He has a walker. So we did what we could to find him, and he ended up making it to the site before we could actually, like, go and find him. But we were very concerned about him. And then later on that night, the same client, we had a group of singers come in, and the same client who was worried about the gentleman was noticed that one of the other clients was sleeping while the carol singers were performing. Mm-hmm. So he said something to him. So it was just really nice to see, you know, maybe not just one, because it happens throughout all of the clients, but it was nice to see that, you know, they were looking out for each other, making sure that we were respectful to the carol singers and to each other.
For our listeners, what are the hours of our shelter, and where do you, we have a van, we have a vehicle, so where do you pick up the homeless people? Where do you find them, and where do you take them?
We open the site. Well, the doors are supposed to open at 6 or at 7, but because the van, the meal sites close at right around 6, the van goes out and brings them back. They're generally there by 6:15. So I'm there to open the site at about 6, and I let the individuals in when they get there, because I'm not going to make them stand outside. That would be cruel.
No.
But we pick them up from meal sites. I don't have a list of those, but they are available. I believe it's at the Hope Center.
There are lists available. It's a different place every night except Friday night, I believe. And then we also pick up across the street from Hospitality Center at the bus stop. And occasionally the bus goes other places where our guests may be spending time during the day.
So, Warren, maybe for you or for anyone who wants the answer, who are the homeless? They always say, well, all of us are just a paycheck to check away from being homeless. What are some of the things that happen that people become homeless and need our shelter?
That's a great question. And we always try to actually say that the term temporarily experiencing homeless, because you're absolutely right. Any one of us could potentially become homeless under the right circumstances. There are a lot of people who go homeless in our community every year that don't end up in a shelter. They couch surf. They live with other people. There is a somewhat smaller group that ends up on the street. Many of them are helped by HALO in Racine, but there's a smaller group yet that fall between the cracks. They are people with long-term addictions. They are people with mental health issues that may prevent them from seeking the help they need. People without resources. And sometimes, for instance, we have one gentleman in our shelter who has some money, but who has several children, and so he's paying child support. He cannot afford to pay his child support and have a place of his own, so he's on the streets. Poverty is huge. The lack of resources, the system to get help is often cumbersome, and people have government phones that don't always work if they have phones at all. In order to sometimes make appointments, they might have to stay on the phone for 20, 30 minutes when they have only 200 minutes for a month. So they don't, you know, appointments get missed. They don't have transportation. It's all very, very cumbersome. And what is needed is people to help them get beyond some of the barriers. Mm-hmm. But again, I would say our biggest issues are alcohol, other drugs, mental illness, and then a scattering of other things. Mm-hmm. All associated with poverty.
My mother always said that nobody chooses to be homeless.
Yes. Right.
And seeing a lot of people over the course of my time working with the homeless, that stands true. I think that in the economy that it's really difficult for people mm-hmm. to stay afloat. And like you said, Pastor, that you know, the resources just are not there to help people get back on their feet. I'm hoping that we can work towards making those resources.
Mm-hmm. In time, we're hoping, certainly. I think our original concept or the way it's set up is that we would be done with the homeless shelter by the end of March. But, you know, when we see the need we're seeing, what is it looking like long term? I suppose we don't really know yet.
Well, our current situation is we're in a building that's rented through the end of March. Our hope was always actually to continue throughout the year, because homelessness doesn't end when it gets warm. It merely becomes a little less urgent to take care of it. But it is, I think everybody deserves to have a home.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a plan afoot to keep working on this. We are looking at some other sites potentially for the summer. We own a building on Martin Luther King Drive, but our neighbors there didn't, there was a lot of resistance to that place. The building was given to us, so it's that's probably not a strong possibility, but there are a couple other places we are looking at. I think long term, in connection with Racine County, we believe that there is a plan which will get us going again by next winter, and then it will be permanent and full-time. And our goal is to keep improving and growing. At this point, we're operating on a shoestring, we don't truly have case managers. We have people who work with us, who are some of our staff people, like Andrew and our shelter manager, Yusuf Buckley, who has resources, and my wife Joni, who you know, works on connecting people to the resources that are available. But you know, I think eventually we would like to have case managers to help. Our goal is not to leave people homeless. It is to move people from homelessness to a home. Again, we believe this is temporary. Mm-hmm. That no one is homeless forever.
The money that was given very generously by the county to pay our rent happened just a few weeks before we opened. So right. Sometimes we say it's like riding a bicycle, trying to build a bicycle while you're riding it. And so some of the things aren't in place that we might have, you know, and hopefully we're doing long-range planning now. But it's we're very grateful, I know, to the county. Have the neighbors been accepting of the shelter?
For the most part, there's always a not in my backyard element. And when we announced that we were going to be on the Dominic Drive, former Lincoln Lutheran headquarters building, we got a little resistance, but for the most part, the neighbors have been supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and that's I think people start to realize that the homeless are not this scary, evil group of people. They're just us. They're just nice people.
Yep.
Who have fallen on hard times. They maybe have issues that are keeping them from living lives that are as full as they should be. But they're just us. They're our neighbors, our children,
yes,
our parents. I mean, there are a lot of the people in shelter who have kids. We've had our oldest resident was 80 years old, and a woman, mm-hmm, in a wheelchair. That's not a scary person.
Right. And, you know, the volunteers, I arrange for volunteers, but some of them say, well, you know, is it scary to be volunteering there in the middle of the night? And the volunteers will always come back to me and say, you know, they're just like us. So it's the article that Warren wrote when this all started, they're just like us, is for the most part really true. And we have been fortunate not to have many incidents, if any.
I'm just going to correct, sure, that. I didn't say they're just like us. I said they are just us.
They are just us. It's a difference. Thank you.
Yeah. Because they're not different. It's just, mm-hmm, us.
Andrew, what role do the volunteers play in this whole scheme?
Mm. Well, that depends on the day of the week and what volunteer we get. There are, during the first shift, because we have two separate shifts, there's an open shift and a closed shift. The open shift volunteers sit and talk with the clients and help in any way that they can.
And the open shift is 7 p.m. to 1 a.m.?
Till midnight. Volunteers, okay, stay until 1 a.m., mm-hmm, yes. The volunteers.
We're doing different shifts. The staff shift is different than the volunteer shift. So,
it took me a minute to
correct
that.
Other volunteer shift is 1 a.m. to 7 a.m. Where they could sleep.
Right. The open shift, the 7 to 1, they generally sit and chat with the clients and help them in any way that they are able to. Whether that be bringing in donations, helping sort donations that have been brought in, serving food, a lot of the volunteers I see sitting and like playing games with, or you know, card games or board games with the clients, or sitting and watching, mm-hmm, movies, and just kind of hanging out with them and making, mm-hmm, them feel more welcomed. The overnight shift is a little more intensive. We have chores for the staff and volunteers to do overnight. We do laundry. We clean the kitchen, clean the office area. If there's anything, big that needs to be done, mm-hmm, we will do that overnight because the clients are asleep at that time, so it's easier to get things done. Mm-hmm. They generally are very accepting of whatever we ask them to do and accommodating of that.
So, Travis, to you, do you interact with the volunteers at all, or how?
Most of the time I kind of just stick to myself, but yeah. I'm mostly a loner, uh-huh, as an individual. I play games on my phone to kind of occupy myself and, yep, keep my mind off of everything that's going on,
mm-hmm,
but I've interacted with a lot of the volunteers. They're all, yeah, really nice people.
Yeah, as are the guests. So, and there are movies, but no TV, right? Are we still at that stage?
No, we've got two TVs.
Oh, we have two TVs.
Two TVs, VCR and a DVD player.
Okay.
We don't normally have live TV. But we have, streaming TV, so sometimes we can, through apps and so forth. Last Sunday we were able to get the Packers game, the second half of it anyway, after struggling for quite a while. but we're working on it.
That made the guests really happy. I could hear the happiness, so I went back, yeah, to the room and I was
volunteering. It made me happy.
Yeah. You could watch the Packers. Well, so our doors are locked between when and when?
We open at 7. We lock the doors at 9 p.m., but that does not mean that you cannot enter the site after that. There's a phone number on the first, the front door. If you call and let us know that you're out there, we'll come down and let you in. If there is a homeless person who's trying to enter the site after that time, they have to have an escort from either the street outreach the street ministry headed by Scott.
Scott Metzel from the Hope Center.
Thank you. Or a police escort. And they're always, really nice to the clients when they drop them off. So I can only assume that they're very nice to them mm-hmm. when they're not around us.
When I volunteered last week, it looked like a really the food program had been closed that day because of the snow, and it looked like we only had 13 guests at about 8 o'clock, and by morning we had 23. So some can come during the night.
Yeah, we have a couple of guys who work second shift, and they work until they get in about 12:30. Other people get rides to the sites, I know one has to walk everywhere. He has his walker, and if he doesn't make it to if they don't make it to the bus, they walk to the site. Although we're not really supposed to do that, mm-hmm. that's just what has to happen.
But if you have someone who was there the night before and they call at 10 and say, "Hey, I'm downstairs," so you know them and you've done the
We're not likely to turn them away. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Okay.
We very strongly though want to encourage that they get there in between that 7 and 9 p.m. time. We don't want people to say, you know what, I want to stay out and have a few drinks tonight, and I'm going to come in at 11 o'clock. We can say, that's just really not how that works. On the other hand, we take it on a case-by-case basis, and most of our guests want to follow the rules, mm-hmm. and mostly they come. In the case you were talking about when we had a lot of snow, I think there was there was no meal site that night, and there was a little confusion as to where people should be. So I think, unfortunately, some of our guests had to figure out their own way there.
Yes.
So that was a little different situation.
How do you get there, Travis?
I ride the bus.
You ride the bus?
Yes.
The host bus, yes. bus picks you up. At the food shelter? At the food program?
Usually across from hospitality.
Okay.
I know they do pick up at meal sites, sometimes from the meal sites.
Great. And we have a security presence. Why is that?
You never know what's going to happen. Generally, the people that we have in that have been there previously are not going to cause any problems. But if we get a new intake that we don't, we don't know them, we don't know what's going to happen, and we don't know what's going to happen at all. So who's to say that, one of the clients that's there presently or has been there or a new intake can't start an issue? It's there for our security and for the site security. Also, the officer is sitting downstairs and informs us when there are people that are coming in, so we know how many people are coming into the site.
And if I could add to that, I think the need, to be honest, we probably don't need security, but we haven't had any real substantial issues with any client. However, we did promise, because our neighbors, again, there was a little resistance. We did promise that we would have security as people were coming in, just to make sure that there aren't people hanging around. And there was concern about it. But the reality is it's something we have because we promised to have it more
yes.
than anything else. Our clients are – I don't even like to use the word clients. Our guests – Our community is generally very good. I mean, they're nice men and women that we like, and I don't think we've had any fight that I'm aware of. I don't think we've had probably a few raised voices, but I mean, there is no community without conflict.
Right.
Things happen.
Right.
But
and the trick is to get in there right when that starts and stop it before it can escalate.
Right, yes. And Andrew is probably like 6'8". And he's a pretty big guy. I think if he walks in the middle of anything, they'll say, "Yeah, okay."
That actually happens.
And the security, the police officers that we hire, they're just there at the beginning, the first 3 hours, which sort of sets, the people who come in know that we have security,
mm-hmm.
and that may be important in some cases. What do we do about food and clothing? Did you, Travis, get any clothing or food from the shelter?
Yes. When I first got there, I pretty much had what I had on my back. And now I have, like, my cup runneth over. It's just ridiculous almost.
And it's the generosity of the community. Yes. And actually, if I could just ask this, if someone's listening and they would like to volunteer or they would like to provide clothing or needs for the shelter, who should they call?
Well, they can call the site. Okay. The phone number is 262-221-0745.
Great.
Or they can contact, I believe, Holly takes donations.
Contact the, we usually like to take especially donations that are things like clothing and food and that at the shelter, probably during shelter hours and preferably between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. If we have, I want to clarify, clothing, we're a little particular about what we take. We'll take men's jeans, we'll take coats, new socks and underwear, that type of thing. And so we're very happy to take that. But we really don't need a lot of other things. Hats and gloves, mittens, those things are fine. We primarily serve men, although we do have women and right now some children. So we're real particular about clothing.
So it might be best really to call that number and ask what's needed.
I would say we have two substantial needs. One, as Linda knows because she schedules our volunteers. We do need volunteers, and particularly anybody who is willing to work that 1 a.m. to 7 p.m. shift. That's a hard shift to fill.
It's hard to fill because, like, if you have little children, you're not going to go 1 to 7, and if you have a job, you're probably not going to do 1 to 7 if it's a day job, and if you go to school. So it's hard in that way. It's maybe somewhat easier for people who can sleep easily because our guests are pretty much asleep at those times. The staff member isn't asleep, but the guests are, and I always tell the volunteers if you want to, you know, doze lightly or lay on the couch, and if you doze off, just so you're within hearing distance. They're more there because one person, you know, isn't enough for 30 people.
And if I could also add, probably our biggest need, to be honest, is just to be able to cover the costs of staff. And we're again, thankful to Racine County. They gave us a $40,000 grant, which pays our rent, to Johnson Wax, who gave us a substantial gift, and others. But we do need additional funding. And if you can help with that, that would be wonderful. Any gift of any size. And I would suggest that you address that. Your checks should be written out to Segue. That's SEGUE. That's the organization that operates HOST, our shelter. And you could send that to Living Faith Lutheran Church. That's my church. It's probably the easiest. 2915 Wright Avenue. Living Faith Lutheran Church, 2915 Wright Avenue. 53405, and your gift will be acknowledged as tax deductible, and we would be very appreciative.
Yes, and you know, if you're in a church that takes a collection, my church splits a collection with a nonprofit every month. That's Olympia Brown Unitarian Universalist Church. But all the churches have been so helpful. But if they have give grants or something, please consider us, HOST, and as Warren said, Segue. I want to ask a kind of, we're nearing the end, and I want to ask a couple of more maybe philosophical questions. But in a country as wealthy as ours, why is there so much homelessness? And do you guys think that there is a way to end homelessness?
I think there's a lot of homelessness because we choose to think that's acceptable. If we had the political will, we could end homelessness. There are people. We tend to blame people for being homeless when, in fact, they're suffering from some sort of disease, be that addiction, be that mental illness, and that doesn't cover everybody. There are exceptions, but that's hugely what it is. And we decided in this country 30 years ago that we weren't going to house those people, that they had to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. And it was after that decision that we decided that communities needed meal sites almost every night of the week and homeless shelters. The first solution is really, and this is what's coming to the fore and is becoming, I think, the wave of the future, is housing first. We don't worry about solving people's problems. We say housing is a right. We get them housing. We provide the services to help them maintain that housing. And I believe that will happen in the future. I'm hoping that HOST is pretty much unnecessary 10 years from now.
Fantastic.
But if it is, we will be there, because no one should be having to sleep on the street.
Well said. Thank you, Andrew.
I agree with, I think, 95% of what you said, Pastor. I think that, there's just one thing that I disagree with. I think that people see it, but they want to kind of push them, the homeless people, to better themselves, that they feel by handing out things, or they feel like they're handing out things, that they're not helping them, that they're kind of hindering their fire, but it persists. So by not helping, they're really hindering.
Mm-hmm. And
I agree with that entirely.
See, one of the long-term goals of HOST and Segway is to get services to people. But, you know, we just started November 1st, and we're working toward it. Travis, what do you think? Homelessness, will it ever be gone?
Well, it's, like you said, it was a very philosophical question. I would like to believe that there's a cure for it, but as I have read on a Facebook post, it said that change begins with the man in the mirror. So it's up to every individual, not just the homeless, but every individual, to look at it and say, we've got to change something. And before that happens, I don't really see there being an end to it.
Mm-hmm. That's well said, too. Just a quick few seconds. Can each of you, in a quick few seconds, say, overall, how do you think HOST is doing? Scale 1 to 10, if you want, or just how is it doing?
8.5. I think it's doing really well. We want to be a community that keeps people off the streets, and that's what's happening. We've had a few hiccups, but we're good.
Well said, Andrew.
We're doing very well, and we are progressing every day. We're making it better every day.
Wonderful. Travis?
I believe on a 5-star rating, it's at least a 4.7.
Oh, man.
Well, thank you.
I'm just saying that because I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm actually
slightly terrified of Andrew.
And Andrew is a big guy.
We are actually so excited that this is going as well as we feel like it is. So, again, if you're listening and you would like to volunteer or you'd like to contribute, our number is 262-221-0745. It is said that you can judge a society best by how it treats its neediest, its poorest, and its most vulnerable. I would like to thank my guest today, Pastor Warren Williams, president of Segway, HOST employee Andrew Hansen, and HOST guest and advocate Travis, for your role in addressing homelessness in Racine and for those most in need. You've made a huge difference in the lives of many as you carry on your important work. For that and for being with us today, we thank you.
Thanks for asking us.
Mm-hmm. And finally, thanks to you, our listeners, for sharing with us your time this Saturday morning. I'm Linda Fleshinsky, and I hope that you will join us here at WGTD every Saturday morning for this program as we explore the important subjects that touch our communities, because, as you know so well, community matters. Thank you.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, NPR.